This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We are going to be doing the midday show for logistical reasons. We got to get on a plane, or two separate planes, actually, so we can get out to Vegas.
We're going to Las Vegas, Nevada!
To do the afternoon
we
show.
We get it, Lawrence. We're a lot. It's all right.
Well, I'm just saying.
I felt the same.
You don't want to fly with us.
I'm trying to get on my own plane,
Yeah, we get
too.
It. You'd rather go down to Midway.
No, I do fly Southwest. Midway is the best. Don't you love Midway? No. No? Are you kidding me?
We get it.
Yeah, I'd rather take a nice little easy stroll down Garfield Boulevard straight to Midway.
Little international airport in a neighborhood. Don't you love that? I take side streets to Midway. Just driving by Jiffy Lube. Hey, there's Petco. Hey, there's an international airport right there. Like, how did that even get built then? You know, some alderman years ago, like, we're getting airport, right? Like, I don't know. It's kind of residential. We got a lot of bungalows. Like, come on, we can fit it.
I don't understand why we didn't go with the Lawrence Holmes Midway plan. I mean, what the hell were we thinking?
I don't know why you don't fly out of Midway at all, Speaks. You're way closer to Midway than O'Hare.
I often do, but this time, like, I guess it's that part where I'm just kind of letting the company take us. Love you, company. Good job taking us to Vegas. Thank you. So I'm letting them drive the bus on that, but Midway's just so much easier.
This is what you hear at Midway Airport saying, "Welcome to Midway International. Smoking's not allowed in the terminal." Look at this picture. I'm taking a drag off his camel. Every announcement starts, "Attention, passengers. Attention, passengers." That guy is the best. You know he's a cop. You hear the mustache in his voice. It's just like, "Attention, passengers. Passengers."
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Yes, but today, 10 to 2. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. Tanny is here. Shane is here. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
And I'm Lawrence Holmes, and we got you until 2 o'clock today. For one day only. Don't start thinking things. We're just trying to get on planes. And the midday show was nice enough to switch spots with us today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So Layla and Marshall will be on today from 2 until 6, holding us down while we are flying out to Circa Las Vegas to do our next two shows. in our right spots, 2-6 from Stadium Swim, and we cannot wait.
Couple things. Cannot wait to be out in Vegas and see MLB opening day and the Sweet 16 living together in sweet harmony in the sports book.
And White Sox baseball.
That was a subset of MLB opening day. Very deep on the subset.
Lower right, you thinking?
I mean, does it have to be on the big screen?
No,
it doesn't.
It's probably not.
I don't think it's going to be. You're going to hold your phone up and put it next to the big screen.
Be like, it's just going to be me, Tanny, and Shane huddled around my phone.
Oh, God, it's so sad.
Like, look at this. It's White Sox opening day. We'll only get an opportunity to watch it during breaks.
So, I mean, my God, there and at Stadium Swim, I can see you on a chaise at Stadium Swim holding up your phone to, like, make it the same size as the big screens that are, like, 200 yards away.
No.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Shrift Dog. I'm so sorry.
Thinking, lower right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it's over there.
So we got that going on. And then the other thing that's happening within the show is that Lawrence, like here in the open, is going to Midway. And then we're going to O'Hare. But there's a little debate still brewing about whether to trust the Uber when we leave here or walk over to the Blue Line and do that. And I'm leaning Uber. I got to tell you.
So wait, look.
That's a chance, Speaks.
I know.
Can I ask you guys,
Uber this, to the Blue Line?
Oh, we Why? Could.
But the Blue Line's right here.
The Blue Line's at Clark and Lake,
six
right?
blocks away.
It's not bad.
Yeah. No, it's, you could just take the Pedway.
I mean, outside is shorter than the Pedway.
You could just go
and
down
still
the Pedway,
six blocks.
Take the Pedway to Clark and Lake.
Not the Pedway.
The Pedway. The Pedway.
I could ride a Segway to Clark and Lake.
And look. Like, as we say, there's no kink shaming on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Whatever you want to do on your Pegway is up to you. But the Pegway will...
I am naked when I'm going from peg to peg on my Pegway.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What?
I might have to.
Tanny, delete the station, Tanny.
6 minutes into the show, man. 6 minutes
naked
into,
when he's getting pegged between station
hey,
to station.
Dude, what are you doing? Come on.
That wasn't just in my ear, Shane.
That wasn't
that was
necessary.
Over the air
that
and
was
over
extra.
The stream.
I thought that's what he said.
No, it isn't.
Oh, Jesus.
I went close to it. I fly close to the sun. Okay. It's warmer there.
My mic's off. But then
all right. Well,
anyway, that happened.
What a start.
So 25 cabs for 25 guys. Like, if I Uber and those guys Blue Line and you're going to Midway, are we still bonding as a show? That's my question.
Not on the flight out or the
or
flight
the ride
back. But while we're there, yes.
Okay, good.
There are definitely opportunities for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I plan to hit the gym about 6:30 tomorrow morning,
so
I'm looking forward to all you guys being there.
Yep, I'll Tanny, want to meet
some,
there?
Got some deadlifts to do.
650, something like that.
That's where you.
I think we'll just be coming down from Legacy Club about that time.
That sounds about right.
Could be.
That sounds like a really good thing.
Meet you at breakfast around 9:18.
9:18,
maybe 10:18. Oh, the deli. Oh.
If you haven't been to Circa, you should go. CircaLasVegas.com. It's really great. And we'll have all sorts of... We'll be on Twitch from there.
Mm-hmm.
People have very much enjoyed Twitch in the past from there, especially when the servers at Stadium Swim happen to walk into the view of the camera.
Tis true. And our boss one time got sprayed by champagne. You remember that?
Yes.
So we'll see if that... He's coming, right? He's going to meet us over there.
He's got work to do with the Cubs stuff, and then he's going to see us at Stadium Swim tomorrow.
All right, there we go.
That's the plan. Here's what we have planned for you on today's show. Joe Buck is going to join us at noon. We're very much looking forward to hanging out with him. We're gonna do High Noon, right? Aren't we doing that?
I love that.
All right, we will do High Noon today. Bruce Levine is going to join us. Brian Anderson's going to join us in about 30 minutes. We're going to talk baseball and White Sox with him. We start with the Bulls. The fact that the Bulls are in a position to maybe make their way up to the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference and then only have to win one game to get into the playoffs. The fact they had an incredible road trip out west, did their thing. The fact that Coby White, back-to-back player of the week in the Eastern Conference, does it mean anything?
Well, here's the thing. In terms of this particular moment, it is really good that they're fun And it's good that they're winning some games, you know. But I agree with you on March basketball because there's a lot of stars who are kind of sleepwalking their way, a lot of teams that are hitting a dead spot. So I'm not debating that. You can go ahead and state that if you'd like, sir.
I'm worried that any excitement about this current version of the Bulls is the basketball equivalent to a team playing well in September that's not in contention.
And that's completely understandable. So I would like to remove the question of whether they're actually what they appear to be in these last 10 games. I'd like to instead pull back or zoom out and think about roster building and team building in the NBA. It has become kind of fait accompli that you build with three stars. It has permeated the conversation, the three pillars of your house and your foundation of what you're doing as a basketball team. You got to have three stars. It kind of got kicked into gear with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen in Boston. And then obviously the evil empire of the Heat went out and did it and got LeBron and Wade and Bosh together. And since then, a lot of teams have chased that as the archetype. And I think that a lot of our listeners, Bulls fans, NBA fans, even just casual fans, can recognize that as the way that teams try to do it, whether it's Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant in Phoenix, which has failed, right?
Miserably.
Right. Whether it was Durant to go with Curry and Draymond in Golden State, which worked beautifully, right? But there's lots of examples of teams trying to do it and dreaming of it. And you spend most of your time thinking as an organization, how do we get there? How do we get those stars? And a lot of teams try to bottom out so they can get great picks and hopefully come up with those stars. Would you agree that that is like the primary way of building a championship contender that's sort of accepted in the NBA these days?
I would say that it has been one of the more visible ways that people have tried to build. There have been other thoughts of you have one superstar, maybe you add an A-minus star as you're building the draft, like trust the process, right? Then you look at the model that Oklahoma City has had where they're like, we'll just keep taking picks. We'll just keep going and trying to hit. And now they built a team good enough that a 21-year-old point guard was something that they felt like they could move on from in Josh Giddey.
Yep.
So there's like, well, here's James Harden doing his weird thing that he does, and that's enough,
right,
if we build around him to try and build a contender.
Yeah, but I don't know that a team built around James Harden has ever really proved themselves to be a great contender.
And then you have the Celtics model, and again, it's, well, we're going to just keep trading away, and we got our two superstars.
Got our two.
And now it's a matter of finding the right pieces around those two guys to make it work, and it has worked.
I would argue that acquiring Drew Holiday is the perfect third star. That's a guy, thoroughly willing defender, who can score if need be, who it just absolutely fills in exactly what Tatum and Brown need.
But to me, like, Drew Holiday isn't a superstar. Like, he's a like what you're saying, like, he's the perfect third guy.
Sure.
Because he can do all the things and he doesn't need the ball. And then here's Derek White. Here's a guy that is going to be able to defend out on the perimeter.
Uh-huh.
And then for poops and giggles, here's Al Horford. You know, like here's one of those type of guys to help with the fabric of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think that the most highlighted way over the last 15 years in the league has been, can you AAU it? Can you put a bunch of guys together that want to play together and let them do their thing?
Let them figure it out. Let's just throw the stars together and let them figure it out. It doesn't have to be the only way. The other way that gets talked about, and I think you hit on a few different places that have found a permutation of it, is that if you can't find three all-stars, you can have a really good couple of players, and then the third pillar in this three pillars idea can be your identity, can be relentless defense. Think of any Tom Thibodeau team, right? Think of the way they play group
team defense. And all of a sudden, that's your identity, and everybody knows to do it. Heat culture, right? Miami Heat culture, and the way that they go about it, the disciplined way that they play. And then they found a guy in Jimmy who was like the right guy to help elevate that. But a solid identity, if you really teach it and coach it, and your coach is built in, can be that third pillar.
Yes, but specifically in the case you made with Tibbs,
yeah,
if your coach is a crazy person, he ends up doing that to death, and then your team is exhausted by the time they get into the playoffs, and they never go as far as you think they should go.
But the identity doesn't only have to be defense. This identity piece, that it can be your third pillar, it can be offense. It can be a specific style of offense. I would argue that in Golden State, it is shooters, 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 and look at the way we pass. Look how willing we always are to pass, and we move the ball in this beautiful way that's inspired by the Princeton offense, and now it's Steve Kerr's version mixed with Popovich, and like the way their offensive identity is sometimes good enough to be their third pillar.
The only thing that in trying to figure out if there's a model for the Bulls is that if you look at the top of the NBA now, there's no connective tissue in the way that the teams are built, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give you the top four teams in each conference, all right? The top four. Cleveland is not the same what Boston did.
No.
Boston is not the same for what the Knicks are doing. The Knicks are not the same as what the Pacers are doing, okay? In the Western Conference.
Uh-huh.
Oklahoma City not doing the same thing that Houston's doing. No one's doing what Denver's doing. Because Denver is here's this unicorn of a player.
And let's build around him.
Yeah.
Now they've got Jamal Murray.
They do.
And Michael Porter Jr. is sometimes that third star. Aaron Gordon is sometimes that third star. But they've got the one guy who's just so damn special it kind of permeates.
And then fourth is Memphis, where they've just been treading water until Ja Morant got his life together. And you have Ja Morant and Desmond Bain. Those guys can ball. But now it's like, we have this teeny tiny, it's the Derrick Rose model for the most part. We have this teeny tiny point guard.
It's crazy electric.
Yeah, that does all of the things. So I don't know if there's enough to make me believe that there is a way to do it.
Well, that's interesting. So, and we can carry this forward as we're presenting this concept, and we're usually in afternoons. We can think about the NBA this way, and we can go a little deeper, a little more granular on some of those teams that you're talking about.
What I worry about, Speaks, as it pertains to the Bulls, is do you think their front office is ahead of the game?
No, not at all. But hold on.
That's what I worry about when I'm trying to figure out how they're going to go about building it.
But what I understand. But if we slow down and look at what's happening right now, then they need to follow Billy. Because I think Billy's the best basketball mind in that front office coaching combo.
I agree.
And what Billy is doing right now, what he has built, he's taken on this challenge, and what he has built is what Michael Malone called them the other night. This is Michael Malone, the Nuggets coach, called them this.
Arguably the best running team in the league.
That is offensive identity. That is a potential third pillar. I'm not saying they're there yet, but what Billy is relentlessly putting into them is run, 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 push, 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 push. And you know, we had to fight to get them to do this and get rid of some players to do this. And now they have some players who are taking to it. Even Josh Giddey is taking to it. Kobe White is obviously taking to it. And you know who else that they decided to keep takes to it is Lonzo Ball, who will absolutely fit into the DNA of what he's building. So can you squint and see Billy as a coach building an offensive identity that can help be one of the pillars in a three-pillar approach that doesn't have three stars? That's what I'm asking.
Maybe.
I'll take it. Lawrence, I'll take the maybe. I'll take the maybe because we're talking about concepts here and the possibility. And then they'll have to make a trade. To your point, the front office will have to finish the deal. But Billy doesn't have that power to finish the deal right now. All he can do is coach his ass off, choose an identity. And now he's got the coach of the Nuggets saying they're the best running team in the league, which is what he wants to be.
Here's the other problem,
and
though.
I give that props as a potential identity that the coach has carved out.
That you now have to then augment it because you're not in a position necessarily to unless you're really good at drafting, and there's been no evidence that that is the case with this front office. But you then have to augment it with free agency moves. And the people not coming to Chicago for a long time in free agency is scary to me. This is what KC told Mully and Haw about the Bulls and the situation that they find themselves in, strangely enough, with free agency.
We count 14 guaranteed contracts for next season, assuming Giddey's re-signed. And so, and look, if you want to change this roster drastically, you got to make trades. And I'm not sure what I see out there trade-wise. I mean, I know that they've revisit the Vucevic talks around the league because, look, they have three centers under contract, and all three of them have played well. I mean, Zach Collins in the starting role played very well. Jalen Smith hadn't fallen out of the rotation and comes in and puts up a double-double in 13, 14 minutes last night and was instrumental to that victory. He's re-signed for next season. So unless you get creative with trades, I see largely this team intact. Now, the big one and the really dicey one is Coby White, because he has completely outplayed this contract. And that was once a positive story in the sense that it was a team-friendly contract, could come back to bite the Bulls, because there's a rule in the CBA where you can only re-sign a guy at 140% of what he made. Well, Coby's going to get way more than that on the open market. So he's through next season. But, like, I'm not saying this is something that they will do, because obviously he's a foundational piece. But, like, if you don't think you can re-sign him in after next season, do you proactively try to canvass his value around the league this summer? I mean, that's the way front offices have to think. Now, again, I'm not suggesting the Bulls want to or will trade Coby White. I'm just saying these are the decisions they have to face.
Would you trade him?
Man, that's a tough one. I would not, just because – every time you think Coby's hit a ceiling, he comes back.
Yes, I agree. Yes. I'm with you.
Love that conversation. And that speaks to the difficulty of now the front office's choices. And we'll have time to watch it play out. And I want to know what you would do, Lawrence. And we can think about what we would do. And I agree that Coby is going to put them in a conundrum. I need to give credit to Billy for building something with what he has, and it has the potential to be more valuable than we've given it props for. And that includes me in that regard.
Maybe, though, we just leave it there. Maybe it isn't bigger. Maybe it's just, damn, Billy's good. And now he has a roster that's a little bit more... it's easier to find the evidence of how good of a coach he is, because he is bringing along Matis Buzelis and he is turning him into a player. That's kind of the wild card in this for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough moments from Matis to go, okay, I think that guy has got star potential. But I don't want to extrapolate too much from what I'm seeing, considering the time that we're seeing it. Because to me, the constant is Billy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, but
and I'm good with it just being Billy really knows what he's doing.
I feel you. And we can disagree where we are in terms of what might be possible. I think Billy, with more power, might lead to some better direction.
Maybe.
And we're seeing this team play in a way that he wanted to, and he's getting his way, and it's showing some fruit. It's bearing some fruit, and I wonder what else he can do. There's also another guy in the organization that you know about a lot that we need to give flowers to, because that might be a key to what's possible here as well.
Peter Patton.
That's the man.
Who clear, when we talked with Coby White back, was that in October maybe? When we talked with Coby, and he had expressed that how important he was. And I know that Chuck did an interview with Coby last January or February. And inside of his halftime thing, Coby had never had a shooting coach. He had been so good off the bounce. He had been so electric of a player that his high school coach and his college coach didn't mess with what they had. And, you know, he was only there for a year anyway. So then he gets there, and I guess they just kind of let him work through it and have him go, hey, I need to talk with the shooting coach,
uh-huh,
because this doesn't feel right. and they've gotten some dividends from it.
Well,
that's important self-recognition and growth by Coby White.
Absolutely. And praise to Coby, and we should. But if Peter Patton is making him a better shooter, who's making Josh Giddey a better shooter of late? Who's making Dalen Terry a survivable shooter of late? Dalen Terry was 4-for-4 against Denver from deep. He was 10 of 16 on the trip. So, like, and if all of a sudden, if you're going to improve the shooting of the team overall, which actually has happened statistically very directly since Peter Patton got hired, then the ceiling becomes different. In this league, the ceiling becomes different. If all of a sudden your toolsy athletic guys become serviceable as shooters like Dalen Terry or Julian Phillips, then you're looking at different possibilities here. I really enjoy thinking about it as a roster building exercise with Billy asserting some power.
Well, unfortunately, I've got some cold water for you.
Well, let's see.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, what's the view of the Bulls from the outside? And it might be from the inside, too, judging by what people are saying via text message and inside the mob. We'll discuss that and let you hear what someone who covers the NBA thinks about where the Bulls are at. That's next. Spiegel and Holmes sitting in on middays today here on The Score.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.